This is Radio 314 on the Red Ice Radio Network.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is Lana. I hope you're having a pleasant day or evening, wherever you may be, whether you're driving in your car, exercising, or just taking it easy on the couch. My guest tonight is Angelo John Gage, who is the chairman of the National Youth Front, an elite youth organization dedicated to the preservation of all white people, including their nations and cultures across the globe. They are anti-supremacists. They believe that no group should impose their will on another group. Like liberalism? We're going to discuss the dirty scandal at Arizona State University, who allowed an assistant English professor to teach a class called The Problem of Whiteness. Can you imagine if the class was called The Problem of Blackness or The Problem of Jewishness? Angelo will tell us the story and what has unfolded since the National Youth Front headed the charge against this course. Then we'll have a conversation about many things, including anti-white propaganda, Marxist arguments, and organizing and taking action against this totalitarian, liberal, multicult, the new religion. Later, we'll talk about bringing together various pro-white mindsets and all their diversity and complexity. Angelo John Gage coming up. Hello, Angelo. Thanks for being here. Welcome.
I'm honored to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, before we discuss what's going on at Arizona State University, I wanted you to share your awakening into the anti-white agenda. So how did it happen for you?
Well, believe it or not, I mean, the first person I ever started listening to was Alex Jones. Mm-hmm. And then from him, you know, you start looking into the Illuminati and global this and that. And then it gets even crazier. I started going into David Icke, which I'm sure
you ever heard of. Sure. Yeah, we've had him on.
Yeah, the shape-shifting lizard thing. And, you know, even though we might not agree fully on these concepts, the good thing about those two guys is that they actually help you question authority. So that in itself is good, you know, because you still got people thinking the whole 9/11 thing was a guy in a cave. You know what I mean? Yeah. So these people have a purpose in a way. Like, they might not be like the super truth, but I mean, like I said, the truth that they give you is only partial. It's only partial. But the whole point is, I'm trying to say, Lana, is that the fact they help you question anything is good.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's still these people that like, yeah, Bush is good and Obama. And they have no clue what's going on in the world today. And they really want to believe the reality that they've been handed. They haven't even questioned anything. They don't even question the existence of where they came from or who they are. You know, there's no such thing as aliens. I mean, I don't know if there is or not. But there's people like, no, there's not. And then there's people that say that's all there is. It's just there's so much information out there that it's easier to become, It's easier to become confused because there's so much information out there. You don't know what is true. So it's like there's an overload of truth movements to where it lets these deceivers get in there and start a truth movement to lead you somewhere else.
But if you're good at researching and if you have any kind of intuition, I think that you can find the spirit of truth. You get led down different avenues and it becomes more and more clear to you so you can kind of solidify your own belief system.
Right. And that's why I look at everything. That's why I went from Alex Jones to aliens to ghosts and goblins. I mean, I did everything. And if you really look at it, I mean, the theory, it pretty much says that something outside of this world is, you know, influencing us, whether it be angels and demons or extraterrestrials or just us. I don't know. But anyway, to get to the point, I was reading David Icke's book. I forgot what it was called, Get Off Your Knees or something like that.
And Lion, yeah, Human Race, Get Off Your Knees, I think.
Something like that. And it's like 700 pages. So this guy is not, I mean, he's writing a lot of information. He didn't just make this crap up. And, you know, he goes into Rothschild Zionism. That's what he says. He goes, and he claims that the Holocaust was a sacrifice by the super Jews to like the little Jews, right? That's his theory.
Sure.
And I go into that. I'm like, so I looked up Rothschild Zionism, and that's where everything changed for me. So if it wasn't for Alex Jones and the shape shifting lizard David Icke guy, I mean, I wouldn't be here today where I am. I wouldn't have learned this stuff, which is absolutely mind blowing. And you would never think it was true, you know?
So then what led you to the racial research?
Well, after learning about the bankers and who they really were and World War II and looking into revisionism and seeing that the whole war was the exact opposite of what we were taught, and then learning about communism and who was behind that and what they wanted to do and then, you know, the Kalergi plan and all this stuff. It's all right there. It's all in your face. And Israel Cohen with this quote from the racial program for the 20th century, how he wants to blend blacks and whites together. I mean, it's all there. And I'm looking at all this stuff. And that's what I go, wow, there's some real big program against my people. And that's what really scared the crap out of me. It wasn't really the whole World War II was the opposite of what I was taught, because that's gone and that's over. You can't bring that back. You can't fix it, really. But this white genocide stuff is happening right now, and you could see it. You know, you can prove it. You know, the numbers prove it. The news even tells you, hey, whites are a minority, and everyone's clapping. Even stupid white people clap them.
We're supposed to rejoice about that. Yeah, I receive emails every day now from white folks who are waking up, and it's very powerful when that switch flips in you. It's a survival instinct that goes on. Did you have that?
Yeah, well, I basically started noticing that, you know, going out in public, I see less white people, you know, and I go, there's the old, like my friend's grandparents would tell me a certain city was very peaceful until all these minorities came in. I used to live in Newark, New Jersey. We used to be, it was a nice city actually. And now it's very bad and it's crime ridden. Same thing with Detroit is an example, you know, Detroit, Michigan.
It was
industrial center of the United States for auto or whatever it was, auto car manufacturing. And then now it's garbage. So it's like, what is the same problem? What's going on? Well, it seems to me when these minorities come in, which are becoming the majority, these things go to crap. Things change. Crime skyrockets. Interracial crime right now is 92% perpetuated by non-whites on whites. That's the statistics I've been hearing. And it's extremely disproportional. So, and you could just look across the world, you know, across the water and see third world countries. They're not white people running these countries. So something's going on here.
I would say too, when they use the word minority here, because none of these races are minorities. Actually, white people are the world's minority. We're 5% of the world's population. I mean, there's 2 billion Chinese people in China alone. So it's like in Africa, it's getting up there. It's probably like 1.6 billion just in Africa. So we're not talking about minorities. They still have their country to go to, and there's plenty of them. But these are our countries where we reside. This is where we live.
Yes, and the thing is, the argument is, well, you stole it, or you know, it's not your land. Well, technically, no one has any land, and anyone could change their home and go somewhere else, because home is a concept. You know, home is where you make it, and we made it here and other places, Australia and Canada and so forth. We built this country the way it is. We didn't come to the American continent and the Indians had, you know, skyscrapers and electricity and railroads. We built this country the way it is right now. And what's happening is we're committing suicide too. I mean, I'm not going to just blame the destroyers of Western civilization for everything. You know, they're the ones pushing all this miscegenation propaganda and forcing diversity everywhere and allowing these invaders to come in. But we're also not doing anything about it, and we're not having children. We're also complicit in our own extinction.
That's right.
And we are a minority, 8% of the world or 5%, whatever it is. But the big problem is we're becoming a minority in our own backyards. That's the main problem here. Because people say, white genocide, what are you talking about? And a lot of people say, well, I don't see white people getting rounded up in death camps and shooting them and putting them in gulag pits and whatever. And they're right. They don't see that. But not everybody knows the four definitions of the UN Geneva Conventions, 1948, whatever it's called, genocide doctrine. You know, people, they don't walk around their pocket and go, oh, look, it's white genocide. You're right. It's letter C, section C, you know, destroying the whole or in part. They don't know that stuff. So, I mean, you could say terms like, I say demographic displacement. Diversity equals demographic displacement or demographic replacement, because they can see they're being replaced. I mean, the people in London can see that all of a sudden now they're surrounded by burqas and Islamic terrorists. It doesn't really look British anymore. But genocide, I mean, again, I've spoke to Horace, great guy. I even got to talk to Bob Whitaker, and they went with the genocide thing because it's true. It is 100% a genocide, no matter how you put it. But I don't think most people get it. So we got to propound it in their heads constantly until they do get it. But I just like to, I like to play with different words. That's just me.
Yeah, we just saw something the other day. We discovered the UN was the Department of Economic and Social Affairs Population Division. They actually have a section where they talk about replacement migration. Is it a solution to declining and aging populations? And this is something that the UN is actually pushing. So it's not a conspiracy. It's actually happening.
Right. And we need more diversity everywhere. That's the beauty of it. You know, diversity really just means less white people.
Of course,
that's all it means. That's all it means. And, you know, this is the problem. I mean, do I see us going extinct off the face of the earth? No, I really don't believe that's going to happen. But we're going to be a minority surrounded by a majority of people who've been brainwashed to want to kill us.
That's right.
Very, very unsafe for us, no matter where we live.
Well, just look at South Africa as an example to see how a white minority is treated.
Absolutely. They're not going to be like, oh, white people, affirmative action for you. Here's a scholarship for being white. None of that. They're going to be like, white devil, now we got you. And, you know, that's it.
Well, tell us how you became a part of the National Youth Front and what their objective is.
Well, I started a long time ago. Like, I made a YouTube video, Call of Duty. I called it Call of Duty, White People Wake Up to Gen. I don't even know the title. It was so long. But anyway, I that went viral. And then that got me, I guess, into the scene. People are like, oh, look, it's a former Marine. He's talking about it too. So I guess they like the whole veteran part.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went on the White Voice for 8 months. Then I tried to run for Congress in the American Freedom Party, which didn't work out because of a paperwork technicality. It was the dumbest thing ever. But it was my fault because I waited to the last minute. I had all these signatures, and it was actually the stupidest technicality ever. These forms were identical. One said general election. One said primary. I did half my signatures on one and half on the other because I downloaded the wrong one. It was just stupid. It was so dumb. And I'm in Trenton. I'm like, hey, he goes like, well, sir, actually, these 40 signatures are invalid. So yeah, you need to get 40 right now, and you have an hour and a half to get them. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, that's not going to happen. So it was unfortunate, but I don't think I was prepared fully anyway. But after doing that, you know, the American Freedom Party liked that I tried to do that, and I continued making YouTube videos and stuff like that. I always try to network, and I'm always teaching the truth on Facebook of whatever I can, always researching, always reading. I've read so many books. I've probably caught up in the last 2 to 3 years now, decades of research. I mean, I just kept reading till my head exploded. So now what happened was the National Youth Front was founded, and I didn't found the National Youth Front. It was founded by these other guys, and basically they wanted to create a similar organization to those similar in Europe, like Generation Identitaire and all that stuff. And that's what they wanted to do here. They wanted to make a youth foundation to get young kids involved in politics and stuff like that. And so they also are affiliated with the American Freedom Party. And we're not actually part of the American Freedom Party, but they endorse us. So they like that we're doing this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we support. And again, I was part of the American Freedom Party, so that works even better. But ultimately, our goal is this. We're not trying to actually emulate the European groups anymore. They have a different situation over there. First of all, Europe is way smaller than the United States. They've never been taught they were a melting pot. You know, no one's ever said, yeah, Europe's a melting pot. Whereas the United States, you know, we've always been taught it's a melting pot. We both know it's European melting pot.
Yeah.
But even from its inception, there were Native Americans here, there were blacks, and even Asians came to work in the mines and stuff like that. So the United States of America has always been multiracial. So but back then, they used to get rid of their cultures and become American. But now it's like, everyone keep your culture. Who cares? You know, let's fight over this land. So I think the solution to this country is a lot different than the solution in Europe. So in Europe, they're declaring war against Islam. You know, they're the whole ban the burqa, and that's what they're doing over there in France and stuff like that. Over here, it's a little different. We're surrounded by way more people with different backgrounds and ethnicities. So we have to adapt. And what I just want to do with the National Youth Front is simple. First of all, we signed up the group with the IRS or whatever as a conservation group. So basically, we're just trying to preserve ourselves. We're not a political organization. We're not trying to do anything like that. We're just a group of concerned white people who are want to preserve our race, heritage, and culture. And we want to do this around the whole planet. I mean, right now we're in the United States, but some guy from the Ukraine signed up like 2 days ago. I was just talking to a guy from Brazil. He's interested. So we want to make this global. And really, we just want to tell people, listen, it's okay to be white. We want to make it hip and sexy again to be white. We want to create a white collective consciousness like everyone else has.
That's
because
right.
Someone's got to stop the the defamation of our people. And that's what we did at ASU, you know?
Yeah, let's talk about what's going on at Arizona State University, because recently they allowed one of their assistant English professors, I believe, teach a class called The Problem of Whiteness, and this made national headlines. So tell us about the story and the events that unfolded.
Well, basically what happened was there was a Fox News report initially about this. This professor, Lee Bebout, he has a class called U.S. Racial Theory and the Problem of Whiteness, something like that. And basically, it's talking about the identity of whiteness, like what the problem of identifying as white is, like what that is. You know, they say like we created that term, race is a social construct type of thing. And, you know, they could have named it anything else. They could have named the problem with racial discrimination. They could have named it the problem with, you know, U.S. Jim Crow history, something like that. But no, but they chose the problem with whiteness. And that's, I think it's offensive because I'm white and so are you and everyone else. And even, you know, Republicans are like, this is offensive. So it's not even like they did something, we're overreacting. No, this is a blatant defamation of our people. They're saying the problem of whiteness. We all know for a fact there would never even be a class called the problem of blackness, and certainly not one called the problem of Jewishness.
No,
So that would never happen. And so they're teaching this class, and one guy, Robert Poe, he was the guy on the street doing a teaching, talking about the class.
Yeah,
and so our guys recorded him, and he's advocating violence against white nationalists and what he considers to be racists. So any white person who objects to this anti-white nonsense, I guess he would consider a racist. So that's when he really hung himself. See, I didn't even know this man existed. All we wanted to do was tell the school what was wrong with this whole class. And we posted flyers showing that Lee Bebout is anti-white. And that's all it was. And we posted all over the place. We even had this anarchist take these flyers down and start burning them. He took a picture of himself. It was kind of stupid. They don't know what they're doing. But so that flyer campaign got the attention. And then we recorded Poe advocating violence. And then the students got mad at the university for not publicly, you know, denouncing us or anything else like that. So they remained silent. And so the students said, well, that's messed up. Why are you supporting Nazis? Why are you supporting these bigot white supremacists? Now, the funny part is if you go to our website, the first thing you'll see there when you see you go to About Us section is we are anti-supremacists. This is a word that I coined. I think I've never heard it before, so I guess I made it up. But, you know, it's pretty much saying that I want nothing to do with you guys. Leave me alone. It's sovereignty for everybody, and that's it. So, you know, we're not trying to tell you what to do, but don't tell us what to do. And, you know, here's a class teaching people that we're at fault for all this stuff, and that's going to incite violence against us. That's why these black kids do the knockout game. They've been taught that the white devil stole everything. The white devil did this. The white devil did that. Can you blame a young black kid who's been taught by this Marxist media and the school system that we're at the fault for everything? So we did the whole flyer thing. We got this guy on video. And then they do a counter protest to what we've done. So they're outside. Here's Poe again with their microphone, cursing at his own administration, blah, 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 F word this, F word that. I don't know if I can curse on your show. But anyway, the point is
he's doing
that. And so the guys we spoke, one of the guys, John Hess, I call him the MVP because he's doing a lot of work out there in ASU. He got together with some other guys from different groups. There is even an Iranian guy there. Now, this was really through
Ali. I've had him on the show. He's a great guy. Yeah,
absolutely. And why are these white supremacist gas chamber loving Nazis hanging out with an Iranian guy?
Well, the SS had people of all different races on it, so they were all fighting communism.
Right. So this really threw I asked Ali, I said, what did they think of you being there? They said, they didn't know what to say to me. I go, exactly, because they don't understand what we are. They don't get it. They've been brainwashed like Pavlov's dogs to look, you know, if any white people think that they have interest, they're Nazis. It's ridiculous. So John Hess does the counter protest. I'm sure you saw the video. The guy gets in his Poe starts yelling, and he puts his microphone down. He's going to do something about it. He doesn't do anything about it. Then this other fat dude goes up to John Hess. And I told John Hess, listen, you will not do anything violent. Of course, none of us have done this. They're claiming that we've had they're claiming we've emailed them violent threats, which we haven't. They can't even produce. They can't even produce one email.
Yeah.
I mean, what have we? I told my guys not to say anything. I launched a campaign against the school, an email campaign. I got one email back from some guy named forgot his name, something Kenny, the provost, the dean provost of the school. One sentence is like, thank you for your concerns about Mr. Poe or your interest, something like that. One letter. It's on our website. If you go to nationalnewsfront.com, there's an article that just sums up everything we've done there. And so there has been action taken against Poe. So he's the one screaming, you guys want to fire me, discipline me, something like that. So something has happened to Mr. Poe. He's been removed off the school of the class list.
So he's white, by the way, so people that don't know, he's white and he comes from an upper middle class neighborhood. Lots of tattoos.
Anarchist or something.
Yeah, anarchist. Yeah.
You know? So he was removed from the class roster or something. So that really pissed off the students. So the students are mad that ASU is indirectly supporting what we're doing in our free speech. So one of the signs we had was thank you, ASU, which was kind of funny. Stuff like that. So I look at ASU as a victory because I haven't seen anything in the last 50 years of this nature. I haven't seen a group of white folks say, you know, enough of this crap. And the Lee Bobout, the professor of the course, said he's not going to do it next year. So to me, that got shut down. Are they going to admit this? No. Is the school going to apologize to white folks? Probably not. They're just sweeping it under the rug. And that's why these leftists had the counter they protested their own administration out of anger. But, you know, like our little protest that we did to counter them was successful because it made them look like babbling idiots and violent people, but they're cursing and unprofessional.
Yeah, didn't some Antifa communists also come out to protest?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of people out there. I mean, I wasn't there, but, from what I saw in the video, there was a handful of us and there was a little bit more of them, not many really. And they just stood there and while Poe was cursing and you know, that's unprofessional for someone to be doing that, especially if he wants his job back. He's cursing at the administration. I mean, what do you know, I don't know if he lost his job. Our intention was never to hurt anyone's career. All we wanted to do was tell the school, drop this course. But then here's a guy advocating. He hung himself and he's asking for it. And then he advocates violence again on the next video.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what his deal is, but.
Oh, yeah. They love to have these slander campaigns and destroy people's careers and hack their websites, release their personal information so Antifa can go beat them up. I mean, we're dealing with violent people here. None of us have ever tried to do that to any of the other side.
Absolutely not. I mean, again, we are a nonviolent organization. I mean, there's nothing to be violent about. We can destroy your argument just talking to you. You know, we don't need to fight. These guys have to beat us up to shut us down because if they listen to our logic, they'll lose and they can't have that. You know, they're so brainwashed. It's insane. So that's the thing. I think ASU, I'm going to mark it off as a victory. We did another thing, El Camino High School, this a charter high school. This was in California, San Fernando Valley. I had a guy out there, one of our people that are in Cali, flyer an entire neighborhood for 5 hours. Okay, this guy, he flyered this entire residence area of El Camino Charter High School, and it's a charter school. Now, ASU is a university. There might be some gray area that it may not be illegal to have a class like this, but the charter school in El Camino is it's a public school. It's a charter school. And it must obey the state laws. It must abide by them. And it violated over 7 laws, you know, because what happened was, did you read this article too or no?
No, I didn't. Tell us about it.
Well, basically, there's somebody passed out an article or propaganda flyers to the students at the school. And it was called Why a White Space. And the theory of this was that, you know, white people should have a white space.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure, yeah. Come on.
So you saw this, right?
Yeah.
Or no? Yeah, so this was passed out to students, and Breitbart actually reported on this. Breitbart News, I guess the assemblyman Tim Donnelly. So it's not like some person just made it up. And so I decided, let's take action. So we sent guys out there, and they flyered the whole neighborhood, and not one response from anybody. I mean, I emailed the school, I called the school, I told people. In both cases, with El Camino and ASU, I launched an email campaign. So my Facebook people did it. I did it. I called the school. You know, no response again. Oh, we'll call you back. No, they didn't. So I don't know. And then I emailed all the news stations in California in that area. So I don't see why these people wouldn't report this. This is actually illegal because the law states that you must have a discrimination-free zone at all times. So whether a teacher did this or whether a student passed these out, or whether some stranger communist guy snuck in the school and did it, they failed. They failed to keep the school.
So what was the point to have this white space for white students to sit there and reflect on their evil ways and their racist thoughts?
Right, right, exactly. It's a bunch of stuff that I can read you a few lines here that are so dumb. I mean, here's one that's just a white space serves as a resource to people of color who want to work with white people, but don't want to spend all their energy dealing with racism of white people. I mean, that's just assuming we're all exactly. And then the whole white privilege thing and stuff like that, you know, a white space in order to challenge racism and dismantle white supremacy. White people need to unlearn racism and discover the ways we enact white privilege. So not only that, so white people all over the planet have to unlearn racism. Didn't say some white people. It said white people.
Yeah, because only white people and all white people are racist, right? No other race can be racist. We know this now.
Right. And then, and just recently, to bring this up, there's another school in Chicago, Oak Park something. Let me look it up. Oak Park's, what was it called? Community, whatever. If you look it up, you'll probably find it. They just had an assembly of all black students to talk about Black Lives Matter, and they physically restricted any white people from coming in.
Yeah.
Students, you heard about that story?
Yeah, just a couple hours ago, yes.
Yes, so that's illegal as well, because, mm-hmm. again, you can't discriminate against anyone for any reason of their race, sexual orientation, disability, ethnicity, whatever. I can keep going. So these are charter schools. So these are public schools that have to abide by the state law and also the federal law, which is 1965 Civil Rights Act. So again, I don't know about universities because, you know, they had Rockwell at universities, for Christ's sakes, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you can do there, but when you take government money from the government, then you have to abide by federal law and state law as well if you take state money. So I think a private school, you can be racist all you want. I don't know if that's the case, but...
Well, you know, the federal government gives money to La Raza, and La Raza has different affiliates and universities across the country where they talk about Reconquista and violence against white people. No problem.
Of course. We're just a bunch of gringos that deserve what's coming, you know? So, I mean, yeah, I mean, this little crusade that we did against these anti-white schools got us a lot of attention, and that's what we wanted to do, because what I want to do with the National Youth Front is not just sit around and just like post articles and do stuff like that, because those are very important things to do. Radio shows, books, articles, retweeting, sending links, talking about it with friends. But we need to bring some sort of action in reality. Because I think what's happening is, since the internet got so powerful, now people live on the internet. You know, they got their Instagram. Like, they don't even go out. They go out, they take a picture of their food. They're on Facebook all day. They don't have a real life anymore. Like, there's people that have more popularity in their virtual world than in reality. So we need to start hitting the streets, and that's what I want to do at National Youth Front. I want to get, you know, young people and even older people. I mean, our age range is from 18 to 40, and some people have criticized that. Like, well, 40, that's old, but we also value the wisdom of older people. So those older members, I mean, I might even get rid of the whole age thing. I'm not sure yet. Because if you're 18 and under, you have to have parental consent to join the group, but you could be an affiliate. So, again, I have to look at all the legal things because I'm not trying to get, you know, hit with something. But we value the older wisdom of the older generation. So I look at it like this. People have said, well, that's old people in your youth group. Well, that doesn't matter because they're still trying to protect our youth. So National Youth Front is to educate the youth of what's happening in the world today so we can create the leaders of tomorrow. That's what this is all about. So I don't care if someone's 42 years old, you know, trying to help us out, because they have wisdom. And there's been people in this movement for decades, and they have a lot of information to share. You know, they've done a lot of things trial and error.
Yeah, you have to learn from your elders, get all the information that you can from them so they can pass down the wisdom and pass the baton to the next generation. That's how it works.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And a lot of these guys have done what they could, you know, for their whole lives. They've done 40 years of work, and you know, they can't do it forever.
Nope.
So we got to take our responsibility. And that's what we're here to do, because, you know, it's partially our great grandparents' fault. It's partially our grandparents' fault because, you know, they were too busy at Woodstock, you know, doing drugs and let's open up the borders.
That's right. Hippie dippy, it's all love.
Yep. Yeah, and look, we've all fallen. I mean, I used to live a lifestyle before this two, 3 years ago. You probably want to put me in a gulag. because I was liberal. I didn't care.
But isn't that great? The transformation happened so fast. I mean, I've had people writing who left nasty reviews on our Facebook page before when we got into these topics, and since then have written and said, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I get it now." So I mean, the transformation can happen rapidly because the truth is on our side. People respond to it.
Absolutely. You just have to be open-minded. I mean, like a few years ago, I guess I was liberal. I didn't know. I was not racially aware, that's for sure. But I was never closed-minded. I mean, I'd listen to you if you said something. You know, again, I was researching aliens and all that other stuff, interdimensional beings and all that crazy stuff. I mean, again, can't disprove it, so I'm not going to say it's crazy. But other than that, I mean, I was always open-minded. I just wasn't racially aware. But once I became racially aware and realized that my race was under attack, the things I was doing for entertainment, like I was a club promoter, I'd go out and party, the whole woman thing, go crazy, bachelor guy. And then eventually I stopped because I found that this is a very destructive lifestyle. In fact, I think it's part of the plan.
Yeah,
I think
definitely.
They want to keep you in this whole, you know, materialistic, sex-driven world. You know, who's got the nicest purse, who's got the hottest girlfriend, who's got the money and car, all this stuff is replaceable. You know, your bloodline is not. Once you miscegenate, irreversible.
That's,
you know,
right.
So we're valuing the wrong things. They're making us materialists, and we're falling for it because the dumb goy love to play. That's what it is. We like to play. Well, you know, the Jews, what are they doing? They're sending their kids to Harvard University. They're becoming lawyers and doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we want to do stupid stuff.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
It's partially our fault because we become complacent. And there's one thing I learned in the military is that complacency kills. The second you drop your guard, you think you're safe, you're going to get hit by a sniper. Something's going to happen. So you have to always be on alert and always be on guard. And white people, I think Americans, they got so fat, literally.
Mm-hmm.
They got so entertained. Your iPhone could do everything. You can watch your TV anywhere you go. You have an app for everything. You have an app to do everything that needs to put on your socks. They'll probably make an app for that. I mean, we're getting lazier every second. We're not valuing ourselves. We don't even think our race exists. Why would we fight this white genocide when we're told that we don't even exist?
Oh, so, and liberal parenting. They're just letting their kids do whatever. No discipline, no instilling knowledge. And this is making softies. A lot of white babies are being raised this way. And then meanwhile, the other side, just like you said, you know, the Jews are more hard on their children. Pretty much all other races are. And so it's leaving our children to be sitting ducks when the time comes.
Yeah, it's all a big, it's like it all connects and it works together. It's like there's an attack on every possible angle in our food, poison, you know, our garbage, all this stuff that they put in our food, our media, everything that every facet of our lives is like under attack. Entertainment, again, that's just to distract you, you know. So we're sitting here and we're like, wow, what's going on? And then they're teaching us diversity, be ashamed of yourself, open up the borders. Globalism, the human world, let's all hold hands. Again, that appeals because we all want peace. You know, I mean, when I used to think like a globalist, I said, oh my God, it'd be so great to unite everybody. When I hear of a black student doing well, I used to be like, yes, that's awesome. You know, he's overcoming, you know, but I never blamed myself really, to be honest with you. I just thought that was great. Other races are doing, because I'm a very compassionate human being. That's why I'm not running a neo-Nazi group. I'm running an anti-supremacist group that wants to bring order back to natural order. And that symbol that I created, I actually made that symbol up, that triangular symbol that you see. I call it the Omega. And really, since I was a boy, I always liked the shape of the Omega, you know, that Greek letter, the last letter.
Yeah.
And that has a significance. That means the end or something like that, because it's the end of the Greek alphabet. But so I always liked that symbol. And then I thought of, you know, what's something that could represent all things? And I said, well, the alpha is the beginning, the omega is the end, so why not an omega? Combine it, meaning natural order from A to Z, all things incorporated, and shaped in a triangle to represent a hierarchy in order. So clearly there's a creator of some sort. I used to be Catholic, I'll tell you that, and I used to go to church, hallelujah, all that stuff. It just didn't really resonate with me.
Mm-hmm.
Then I became agnostic, I guess, if you will. Then I became sort of an atheist after I read, you know, Richard Dawkins' Selfish Gene. But I said, you know, this doesn't make sense because I know consciousness is something that we can't measure. We can measure our IQ, but we can't measure creativity, from what I understand. So I actually ran into this guy named Perry Marshall. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. Mm-mm. He has a website called Cosmic Fingerprints. And this changed my viewpoint completely on if there's a creator or not. And he debates atheists for 5 years or more on these, like, infidel is like a board where it's like they talk about atheism all day. And he basically says that, you know, DNA is a code. And codes are not found in nature. There's nowhere you're going to find a code for a safe. That's something a mind created. So nowhere in nature can you find a code. Therefore, DNA was constructed by a mind. And no one has refuted him till to this day. Impossible. So once you look at DNA, it's, you know, 3 billion pairs of whatever it is. It's not an accident. It's not evolution.
Yeah.
It was constructed. It was intelligently designed. And when I read this, and see, this is who I am, Lana. If I can't prove myself wrong, then I believe it. So I tried to prove this guy wrong. I said, no, there's got to be a way, you know. With everything I've ever done, I always try to disprove myself. Most people, they hear something, and they're like, oh, that's it. That's what I believe. No, I actually try to, like the whole white genocide thing, I tried to disprove it. I'm like, no, this can't be possible. And then, and then you see the statistics. You're like, wow, you know, we dropped 30% of our population in the United States from the 1950s till now. That's a huge drop of people. But this man, Perry Marshall, he's like an IT expert or something. And just if you ever go there, cosmicfingerprints.com, because I know you guys have talked about some cool stuff on here in regards to that. And, you know, I think you'd find it very interesting. But that pretty much got me thinking again about, is there a creator? And if there is one, then he created things like a computer programmer. Because I read this book called Programming the Universe by Seth Lloyd. And he's a quantum physicist computer guy. And he basically says that this whole universe is like a giant hologram program.
Sure, yeah, holographic universe idea. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so this tells me that the creator is like playing The Sims with us. You know, we're like little Sim characters. Now, do I think he controls every single one of us and every action that we do? I have no idea. But I do notice that there's a natural order. And you can see that order by observing nature. And so, but here's the thing, though. Here's the catch with the whole Omega thing. It also includes the chaos in that order. So I'm not going to tell people not to miscegenate. If you want to do it, then there's consequences to that. Go ahead and do it. I'm not doing it, so leave me alone. But don't tell me you're wrong if I teach my daughter not to do it. You see how this philosophy works?
Yeah, sure. Well, why do you think people are so afraid to talk about racial differences when it is diversity, and it's a good thing to have these differences? It's an expression of the universe, even evolution. So why are people so afraid to talk about it?
Well, I think, firstly, they believe that race is just skin color. Yeah. And if that was the case, then I would agree with them. I'd say, yeah, well, it is stupid to not think that, you know, just because you're tan, you're darker than this person, that you're – but it's way deeper than that. And there's a really good book to read is Race, Evolution, and Behavior by Philip J. Rushton. And he gets into it and shows, you know, takes the 3 main races of the world, the Mongoloids, Negroids, and Caucasoids, and he shows you the differences, you know. And there's so many of them, it's incredible. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome. But when I also think that in this natural hierarchy, there are more people that suck than are, you know, like, for example, if you have, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, more losers than winners.
Right. Communism appeals to the weak.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So when you have, I tell people, listen, you know, let's say there's a bodybuilding contest and then everyone's Mr. Olympia. No, it doesn't work like that. There's always someone who's the best, the fittest, the healthiest, the smartest, and there's more dumb people in the world. There's more fat people that are not fit for duty. They're not fit for positions of power. So communism says, hey, you losers can be just like winners, and everyone wants to be part of it.
Yeah, it's egalitarianism. I mean, Soviets banned talking about racial differences. Did you know that? It was banned.
You're banned, and anti-Semitism was punishable by death or something like that. So... It was the Soviet Union proves that it doesn't work. I mean, yeah. It collapsed, in 70 years? It was 1900. When did it start?
The October Revolution began in 1917, and then the Soviet Union collapsed around 1991.
Yeah, so it collapsed in 91, and communism was a disaster. And here we are in the United States. They're trying to re-implement a different form of communism, it seems to me. It's like a subtle communism, like maybe a hybrid form. Because they got the Obamacare, they want to redistribute the wealth, they're forcing diversity in every zip code. It's just open borders.
I mean, it's an updated version. It's got this liberal twist. It hides behind, if you watch some of their campaign commercials, it's all diversity and love, but really all of that's a lie. Everything that they're about is the opposite of what they say. I mean, that's the classic trick that has been used in politics forever.
Yeah, and it's so obviously a lie that you can't believe it's a lie. It's like this person really lying to my face? And the people they actually accept it. They know it's total bullcrap, but they just can't believe it's on television. You know, it's like the lie is so big, they don't believe it's a lie.
Yeah.
And that's how this has been working for a while. And it is like, again, there was a, I saw a video, I forgot the guy's name. He was an ex-KGB officer talking about the four steps of taking over a country. And it takes like 20 years to indoctrinate the country. And then there's different levels and it keeps going. Eventually you're in total chaos where it's called naturalization. So that's what we're in right now. There was 20 years of indoctrination, then breaking down your morality and stuff like that, and reintroducing a new form of thinking. And then it's continuously naturalizing or stable or neutralizing, what the term. But that's where we are right now, because after the crisis, 9/11, I think that was a big crisis there that changed everything. Mm-hmm. It put us in a war mode, the police state Patriot Act, go get the terrorists in the Middle East. Of course, Mossad's fingerprints was all over that. But point is that this has been taking a long time. And this is something Horace even said on this show, that, but the internet came out and then boom, that's reversing what they've done to us. So in just that small decade, the internet came out in 91, 92, something like that. I forgot. Yeah. So the last, 20 years or so, things have been shifting a lot faster, and we're waking up. And like I said, 10 years, when I woke up to this stuff, well, to the racial problem and all that stuff, I woke up 2 years ago, 3 years ago. But I started questioning the government when I came back from Iraq, because I came back from Iraq and, first thing I did, I learned that we were using white phosphorus gas on the people in Fallujah in Iraq. And I'm sure you've heard about white phosphorus.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Israelis use it all the time. So I'm like, wait a minute, we're the good guys, and we're dropping white phosphorus gas on these people that burned. It's illegal, isn't it? Isn't that the Geneva Conventions?
Yeah, I mean, you were in the military. I wonder how many soldiers are actually waking up saying, hey, what are we actually doing here?
Well, I mean, yeah, when we came back the second tour, we're like, what are we doing? We're like wasting people's money. We're building sea huts, and we're doing stupid missions that don't do anything, wasting taxpayers' money. But it was a regime change. They wanted to take Saddam out of power and put their puppet government in there. It's all, I think, honestly, for greater Israel. And this is what all this is about.
Oh, yeah.
And so a lot of my friends I talk to today, they know what's going on. I've spoken to them about everything. They're like, wow, man, I can't believe. Because once the whole weapons of mass destructions weren't found in Iraq, I don't think anyone buys war anymore. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to sell us into another war, because Americans are tired of this crap.
But no one checks the nukes that Israel has.
Oh, of course not. That would be anti-Semitic. That would be anti-Semitic, if you did that. They're always trying to push us in Iran and Syria. And, everybody knows ISIS is Mossad at this point. It's the awakening's coming. And then you got the greatest story never told. I'm sure you saw that.
Sure. We've interviewed him. Yep.
Tim, that is just the most powerful thing I've ever seen ever. I've showed that to my half Jewish friends, and they're even like, wow.
Well, it should be good news to Jews that there wasn't a plot to exterminate all of them. This is good news, people.
Well, right. And that's one of the things people say, a Holocaust denier, this and that. I mean, no matter what angle you go, these people were put in camps, whether they were killed or not, it was against their will. It's morally wrong, you could say.
Yeah, but Americans were doing the same thing to Germans and Japanese, right?
Right, exactly. So we're not innocent on that either. And, the real flag, what I disagree with, no matter what you believe, whether you think it's true or not, there should be no laws throwing people in prison for questioning this part of history.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part, the red flag right there. And if I was Jewish, I would want to know every side of the story. And I would want to hope that it was just propaganda. That's what thank God Uncle Saul wasn't cremated in the gas chamber, after being gassed. I would like to know he wasn't brutally tortured to death and murdered and decapitated and turned into soap or whatever other things they say. But, they don't want you to think these. They don't even want to question. They don't want to debate you. So, I mean, that's just a violation of freedom of speech, that law, the laws. I think there's 18 in 18 countries in Europe, it's illegal to question that.
Well, that's why a lot of truthers need to wake up. Truthers who are like, why are you looking into Nazi stuff? Well, it matters because truth matters, and because there's a lot of the Holocaust stories being used as a political weapon on us today in the West. So it's important to highlight and get to the truth of this matter. But people need to question, why can't I go to jail for questioning this story? Maybe the people in charge don't want me to find something out.
Well, I mean, if we got lied to for Iraq, what other wars have we been lied to?
Yeah.
You know, what other things in history have come out to be the opposite of what we were told? You know, I mean, I question everything. So this is naturally one of the topics I'd question. Am I an expert in it? No, I've seen documentaries. The one David Cole put out was a good one. Either way, I don't really go into this topic much because honestly, like I said, it applies today, but at the same time, for my group and my organization, we're here to take action. So There are historians out there that do that stuff, and it's great.
Well, another thing is, too, we need to kind of rebrand, reword, reinvent some ideas that have been good in the past, but they've been demonized. So I think using old words that are associated with things in the past can actually be a bad thing to what we need to do, what we need to move towards. Don't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even my group, you know, I made a whole new symbol. There's no connection to anything. I use the term anti-supremacist because that's what we really are. And we still get called neo-Nazis and fascists and haters.
You just have to laugh about it and ask them, do you even know the economic system of fascism? Can you explain that to me, please?
People think fascism and National Socialism are the same thing.
Yeah.
And they're not. I mean, you know, there's similarities to it. But I mean, I think Hitler's approach was more racial than Mussolini's. But again, I mean, people don't even know what they're just repeating what they've been taught. And they're reacting like Pavlov's dogs. So, you know, the thing is, people that want to be ostracized from society, and honestly, Lana, the masses don't care who's in power. Clearly they don't care because look what they're letting happen. 40% income tax, you know, all this other stuff.
Well, they're too comfortable. If you start taking away their bread and circus, maybe they'll start to get agitated and be forced to think about these things. Americans haven't had to have any struggles at all.
Right. So, I mean, we haven't been bombed from afar other than 9/11, they say, which we all know the truth about that. We haven't been, you know, our cities weren't destroyed like Dresden. Now, we didn't experience these crazy wars other than with the British. So, you know, Americans are fat, lazy, and complacent, and they don't care about anything. And they're very distracted. So I think these communists learn that, hey, you know what, let's just make them always be comfortable and we'll rule them with taxes forever. I mean, they changed their way. They're not just killing us all openly in gulags anymore.
Yeah, they've reinvented themselves. For
right,
sure.
Exactly. They reinvented themselves. They rebranded themselves, and they're doing things slowly. They're cooking us like in a little pot, very, very slowly, just enough to get rid of the generations who do know, and then these new generations are indoctrinated, and they replace us. That's what they're doing. They're trying to get our youth.
It's a Fabian tactic, long term. The guys at a Frankfurt school talked about this. But I know that there's a lot of agitated communists like the Antifa types and people that want revolution now. So it always ends up getting bloody. So they always end up showing what's really in their cards.
Yeah, I mean, these revolutionary types are pawns as well, because they'll kill them off, too, because they're too unstable. You know, it's a funny thing to see these people that don't even know what they're doing. They don't even know what they're standing for.
Well, these Antifa loser mobs, they're all claiming to be anti-establishment, rebel, anarchists, but they are so establishment. I mean, the cops are even protecting them while they fight against so-called racism, homophobia, and the patriarchy. I mean, it's such a joke. And they have to use their bats, clubs, and chains to do it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, these people, they don't even know. They would get put in the gulag immediately. like these neo-Nazi skinhead people, they would never be accepted in the SS. What are they talking about?
No, they're basically just kind of fulfilling what the Hollywood Jews have created, their version of what a neo-Nazi is. And then they're actually doing it, you know, idiots.
Right, right. Exactly. So like I said, you know, for me and my group, we're here. We're not like, we don't even have a political doctrine. So to even break it down easier for people to understand, those listening, we don't represent National Socialism or white nationalism or a republic or bringing back the United States. We don't have any political affiliation. Our members, they keep their political beliefs to themselves, their religious beliefs to themselves. What we do is speak the truth. On the website, we say nationalists because we believe that every nation should be preserved. We believe that each race should have a homeland, that they should be able to preserve their cultures for everybody, for all mankind. I say this on the website. That's why all the hit pieces on us, there's not one hit piece that puts our website up there. Because if they went to it, they would say, wait a minute, they're saying the opposite of what this website says. Because again, this is a words game. We all know what needs to happen with our people. We all know what the truth is, but our enemy has spent billions of dollars in media and movies to demonize certain words and symbols. And all you have to do is recreate them. Like you said, rebrand something that's already makes sense. I mean, look, if you gave someone Mein Kampf and didn't tell them who wrote it, and
just changed the title,
they would be like, this makes sense. I mean, who wouldn't want closed borders and protect your family and blood? And why should their banks have interest or not? You know, they would not say no to a no interest banking system. I mean, who wouldn't? I mean, but the fact is they demonized all the people in our history, and they continue to do so to this day. And so what my goal is with the National Youth Front is to teach the youth. Because here's the thing about the youth. The good thing about the youth is this. They're naturally rebellious. You tell them don't smoke, what do? They smoke.
Yeah.
You tell them not to be racist, they become racist.
That's right.
And I'm not talking about racist, like the bad racist that we're bringing. I'm talking about they become racially aware.
Well, that's what the left has to realize. The more they're pushing, the more they're making a more firm far right. And it's happening.
Yeah, it is. I mean, look, just look at Europe. You know, the Generation Identitaire and all these other groups are popping up. I mean, you know, it's happening because the enemy is arrogant, and they're intelligent, but they're stupid. And their stupidity comes from their arrogance. And so everything they do, they make a move that's too far. You know, they do something that is just, they overreach their bounds, and then we react to it. So people, you know, these Antifa people, you can just stand there and get your ass beat by them, and then they look stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, so they make the moves on the chessboard, and they're so eager to destroy us that they make mistakes. Like 9/11 was the sloppiest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what woke me up, 9/11. I said, whoa, these, you know, I first saw the towers collapse and whatever. And then I go back couple of years later in the Marine Corps, my friend's little brother sent me a video of Loose Change. And I look into it and I go, holy crap, I didn't notice that. See, I mean, you know, years ago, talking about 9/11, you were a psycho, idiot, retard. Today, if you think it's not the government, you're stupid. You know, mm-hmm. So things have shifted a lot more. Nobody trusts the government anymore. But it's just sad that they don't do anything about it. And that's what we need to start getting organized.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that. Since you have a military background, you seem pretty disciplined. You know, how do we organize and take action? I mean, because there's a lot of people where it's a big country, we're really spread out. What are things that people can individually do?
Well, that's the thing. Like, look how much we've done with a few guys at a campus university. A few guys with some flyers walked around and put it on the campus, and boom, there's a story, there's the information. I mean, we have been convinced that we have no power. We're believing the lies that we're told. Like, you know what, you're going to go extinct, this and that. And it could be possible if we allow this to happen. But we're the ones we've given our sovereignty away. It's our fault. So we can blame the communists, Zio communists, the Jews, whatever you want to blame. But we're the ones engaging in their monetary system. We're partaking in their monetary system. We're believing these diversity lies. We're not standing up for ourselves because we're afraid to be called a name. I mean, Lana, sticks and stones may break my bones and words will never hurt me. That's something we used to say when we were kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Now we're adults and everything's a lawsuit. Oh my God, he said this,
let that. He offended me. I'm hurt.
It's because the media is controlled by the tribe and nobody wants to be ostracized. I mean, look, they could write a story about me right now and say I'm a pedophile and be totally false. And then millions of people will see that and go, oh my God, this man's a pedophile. It doesn't matter if it's fake. It doesn't matter because my life is over. That's how powerful the media is. Or they could say there's weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And there isn't. There's no trace of them whatsoever, but they said it a million times. And oh, we better go get Saddam because he was involved in 9/11, which he wasn't. So that's how powerful the media is. And this is another thing. This is a battle of the hearts and minds of our people, Lana. It's not a physical battle anymore. There's a lot people out there. Some of these white nationalists think, Rojoja, what was it called? Rojoja? Racial holy war?
Okay.
Yeah. They think this is going to happen. I mean, first of all, there's already a racial war. If I were to zoom out of the United States of America or the whole planet, you'll see a bunch of white people getting attacked by non-whites way more than the opposite. So you'll see, again, 92% of the time, an interracial crime. It's a non-white attacking a white person. So if I zoomed out and I'm an alien looking down, why are these white people getting attacked? Is there a war against whites? That's what I would think. So the racial war is already here, and it's against us. We're not doing it. They're doing it to us. Mm-hmm. But of course, they only show a few cops who kill black people when they're actually armed, you know, or a Mike Brown incident or Trayvon or whatever, when they twist it and say it's a white person. But getting back to what I was saying here, you know, we at the National Youth Front want to start taking action. And the way we do this is organizing, but not just on the internet, because that's what happened. I think the internet kind of made us complacent. You know, we just talk in forums and we get in fights on Facebook, which is important because, again, you know, I've converted so many people in my YouTube videos. I get thanks and praise from all over the world. You know, oh, from Ireland, thank you for saying this. Oh, I'm in Australia, thank you for representing me, this and that. And people just throw me all this love because I approach it in a way that's like PG rated. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Some people want to go super crazy and say all this other stuff. I believe the truth has to be disseminated in levels. And each person is at a different level.
Well, whites are incredibly diverse. That's why we have so many different types of pro-white groups coming from all sorts of angles. And I think that's a good thing. We have to come from every single angle possible. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. And that's the way it is because you can't teach a first grader algebra. It's just not without teaching basic arithmetic. You got to teach people where they are. Some people you can go right into World War II and tell them the truth. Like, holy shit. Other people, you have to go through who's running the banks and who's doing this and what about that? And it takes forever. It depends who you're talking to. A lot of Alex Jones people are easy to convert. They know something's going on. You know, they've been here, Illuminati bankers, globalists forever. Once you show them who they are, they're like, holy crap, it makes sense.
Yep.
It's these other people, that like Christian Zionists, that you can't ever
talk. Oh, yeah, they're very difficult. It's in my Bible, support the Jews in Israel. Yeah.
I mean, it's funny when you support the very people that supposedly killed your own God.
Yeah,
I don't know. Religion is another story. but yeah, that's the thing. The National Youth Front is really trying to take this to the next level, and that's get people on the ground and take action. And that's as easy as organizing a few people in your town and putting up flyers and just, you know, protesting on the street and getting out there because people, like I said, we're living in cyberspace and we're not making moves anymore in reality. And that's why, you know, what do they care? If we're sitting on the internet arguing on forums back and forth, we're not changing anything.
Now, are you guys trying to set up some groups in various states as well?
Yeah, we already have some groups in various states. We have a bunch of chapters and, you know, we're not like a crazy amount of people. But again, we've even had some people in other parts of the world. Again, the guy from Ukraine joined. I'm talking to a guy from Brazil. So we want to make the National Youth Front a global thing if possible. If not, whatever, we'll see what happens. But we just started in the last month, we just doubled our numbers. We got a good amount of donations. People were very excited with the action we took against ASU because everybody disagreed with that class. I mean, everyone's like, this is ridiculous. It's just that people are afraid to lose their jobs. People are afraid to voice their opinions publicly because the media or they'll get fired. I mean, you've seen it many times. Someone says something and they get destroyed. Even if you're a celebrity, they destroy you. So, you know, who wants to lose their job? But I try to tell people this. I say, look, I understand you have kids to feed or whatever, but if you are afraid of words that are going to take away your job, then how are you different than a politician getting bought by someone? You know, like you're taking money so that you don't say anything.
Well, and you have to think about the future of your children. What's going to happen if you don't say anything? What kind of world are they going to grow up in? Damn it, we have to make some sacrifices here and put out some resources for this.
Right. That's why I tell people there's four types of people in this movement. Okay. There's people, there's person A. He does the work on the streets, the flyers. And there's person B, the radio show host like yourself and the intelligentsia, the intellectuals, the book writers, all those guys. And there's group C, or person C, which donates to these people, A and B. So that's very important too, because we need money. And then there's person D. They just sit on forums and complain that everyone else isn't doing it right and does nothing.
Yeah.
And that's the person that I despise totally because they're part of the problem. But A, B, and C are you know, those who are actually making things happen. So if you can't get it, like for example, if you live in Canada and there's hate speech laws, you can't hit the streets. You can make an anonymous website and post articles or retweet information. And if you can't even do that, then you can be person C and donate to people who can.
Mm-hmm.
So the National Youth Front got some good donations because we took action. We do A, B, and C. I've even donated to my own group, if that even counts. So that's what we do here. And I want to take the National Youth Front and make being a white person cool again, hip again, you know, because they degrade us in the media. We have no swag. Black men are better in bed. I mean, it's constant nonsense about we suck, you know, we're the goofy ones. I mean, it's everywhere. Yeah. And so being white, what happens is the white alpha male no longer exists. You know, the Arnold Schwarzeneggers and Sylvester Stallones of the 80s are gone. Now it's The Rock and it's the you know, Vin Diesel. These guys are all mixed race and they're the cool guys. And go hook up with Will Smith, you know. So our young women are like, well, you know, they're women are made to go to climb the social ladder, to go with the alpha male who have the most resources. And it's no longer white men. And that's the problem. So that's also contributing to our, I guess, genocide or suicide, because the mating process is being altered. This hypnosis that white men are stupid.
That's why it's really important for the opposition to war on white males in particular. And that's why I've tried to do several shows focusing on that issue, because we need white men to be warriors and remain warriors and not be in a place of fear, but be, you know, courageous and victorious here. That's what we need.
Well, that's the thing, because, you know, women and men they're different, and we're equal in a different way. We have different roles. There are, obviously, we believe in gender roles and all that stuff. And what happens is after World War II, men have been castrated, basically. The feminist movement came out. Men have become ashamed. I read a book called it was called No More Mr. Nice Guy by Robert Glover. He goes all into this. After World War II, you know, before that, people were working the fields with their fathers, you know. And when this whole Industrial Revolution came out, and people started going to, their children used to go to schools with teachers who were women. And so the men were no longer in the field with their fathers anymore. They weren't being men. And then the whole feminist movement, stuff like that. And so men have become feminized in a way. Mm-hmm. And that goes with the movies as well. You know, act like a little punk and then you'll get this girl. No, you won't. I mean, this never works like that. But men, once you castrate the men, the women are susceptible to whoever else is in power. And so you castrate white men, you say the black man's superior or the other guy's superior, and then they have to go with them because, well, they want to make sure their offspring survives. And then you throw on top and say race doesn't exist. Well, they go, well, who cares about if it's my baby's white or not? Because what does that matter? You know? So this whole thing is an attack on every angle. And then women are being destroyed.
Oh, yeah.
Feminism is not positive for women.
Nope.
I mean, it's one thing to, you know, be a feminist for, you know, for women in Saudi Arabia who can't drive and get acid thrown on them, then sitting here and complaining when everything's fine in America, you know, and you want corporate jobs, but you don't want to be someone who's in a minefield or you know, working backbreaking labor. So this whole, like I said, Lana, the enemies of our people are attacking us in every single angle, and they're trying to destroy religion. Again, I don't know what you follow, but you know, Christianity is being attacked, everything. It's an assault on all angles. And that's why I've decided, you know, when I was asked to be the chairman, when the other guy stepped down, we want to take the National Youth Front and make it something real.
It would also be good to have vigilant citizens wherever you live, whatever state, whatever country, whatever city, to comb through the news, comb through events that are happening and be the opposition, put out material, fight things on a local level, politically, socially. I mean, we need more of that kind of active stuff on the streets, paying attention. We need people dedicating time into this and even their money, putting everything into this war.
Yeah, that's the thing. And they're not doing it because they're distracted with their football games, or is their girlfriend going to text them back, or what am I doing with my taxes? I mean, again, people are so broke, they can't even think of that stuff. They can't even have kids anymore. That's how broke they are. So I tell people, listen, you know, yeah, you have a job, you're afraid, but that job is silencing you and putting your children in risk in the future. I'm not saying lose your job, but do something else. Again, make a website, retweet something. That post Facebook statuses, you know, you could be anonymous and spread information. So people are afraid, but they can't be. We don't have the privilege to be afraid because time's ticking. Because every generation that goes by is going to be indoctrinated in this communism. Eventually, they'll be so suicidal, we'll have nothing left. And that's why it's very important for people like myself and yourself to, you know, do what we're doing right now, disseminating information via radio shows, you know, pamphlets, flyers, movies like Dennis Wise made. These are extremely important because it's a battle of the mind. World War II was the final battle physically. Okay. Now it's hearts and minds. And when you have the truth on your side, like we do, it's very easy to show someone the truth and convince them if they're willing to listen. If they're not willing to listen, I look at it like Darwin. These people just weed themselves out of existence. They're going to get taken out by their own diversity. You know, they're going to get killed. They're going to get raped, robbed, mugged, whatever. And it sucks. But we try to warn you, hey, listen, you know, this is going to happen to you and you're not listening. There's nothing much we can do other than tell you the truth. And, you know, then I guess nature takes her course. So my message to people is this: if you're the kind of person who is brave enough to take action, I mean, it's not like I'm asking people to like jump out of a plane with a parachute or something. I'm saying, you know, you print out some flyers, you post them around your town and get people even to link to this website that you run. Start spreading information. Talk to your family. If you wake up two people and that's all you've done in your life, you've doubled yourself.
Yep.
It's a numbers game, you know, and that's all we have to do is spread this information. And like Horace will say, it's practical politics. Master your rebuttals. That's another thing, Alana. I think a lot of white people don't know what to say. You know, they say race doesn't exist. Can you prove it? Like, well, I'll say, you know, they say race is a social construct. I go, well, how is it a social construct if it's constructed biologically with DNA? It's not a social construct, you know? I've thought of so many different rebuttals that destroy people, and they're not even that hard to repeat because you don't have to be a geneticist to say, hey, listen, if race doesn't exist, then why is it that a white person and a white person always produces a white person?
Mm-hmm.
If race doesn't exist, a white person and a white person should produce a black person at random, or a Chinese person, or any other combination for that matter. But it never happens. Like always produces like. So that's a very layman way to, a very standard way to say something that's so irrefutable without sounding like a Harvard professor. Like, yes, well, actually, the S&Ps of the DNA code. No, you don't have to sound like that. It's just very simple. Like produces like. And, you know, and that's a one way to refute somebody who says race doesn't exist. So I think our people are just, they're not as educated as they should be, number one, because the schools are teaching them the exact opposite. And number two, they don't know how to word things. So,
well, there's a lot of good resources out there. So start going to those places, sharpening up, mastering yourself, damn it. Not just the argument, but just taking control of your life, cleaning out the toxicity, the bad food, the bad relationships. I mean, we need to strive for greatness here. We're not supposed to be mediocre. I mean, we have to put some work into this and make it every day, make it fanatical. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. You have to make it a religion for yourself. I mean, you should be doing physical activities every day, whether it's running with your dog, playing basketball, going to the gym. I work out. That's what I do. I eat healthy. I mean, you look at the foods out there. They're full of chemicals. If you can't read it, don't eat it.
Yep.
That's how I say it. If it doesn't grow, it goes. All right. You want to take, every Sunday, you want to get a pizza and something. That's fine. But you got to get rid of the fluoride in water. And that's very dangerous, the fluoride in the water.
Yes, it is.
I get my water from one of those container things you buy. The company's called Primo. It's not fluoridated or anything like that. So I don't drink tap water. And these are small things you can do to, you know, change your body. Because once you change, I mean, I can't imagine a really overweight nationalist. I mean, to me, there's no pride in your body. How are you gonna
represent? I didn't see a fat SS officer. Did you?
No, you'll never see that. I mean, because they believe mind and body were one. This is a temple. This is where your spirit lives, if that's what you believe, or the energy that flows. And, you know, it's a reflection of yourself. If you don't even take care of your body, then how can I believe anything you're saying?
Yeah.
You know, that's the way I look at it. So I think that it's spiritual revolution, but we also have to get physical because mind, body, and spirit is one. That's the way I look at it. And this Omega symbol that I created represents all of that. And sovereignty. So if we want sovereignty, we have to start acting like sovereigns. We have to start being, not thinking that we're victims anymore. Oh my God, white genocide's coming. No, it's not. If you stop it, you know, oh my God, they have so much power over us. Stop playing their games. Stop using their money system. I know that's going to be hard to do, but we
it's
can
possible.
Do this together.
Yep.
Yeah. If 50 million people knew what I knew, it already happened. It would be done. It's a numbers game. It's propaganda versus the truth. And that's all it is. It's practical politics, like Horace would say. Very important that to follow the right rabbits, great stuff to learn. you know, this, I've even listened to your show a few times. John Lash was on here once. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Archons. Stuff. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that, hey, who knows? I don't know. You know, I didn't make myself. There's something evil out there. And that's why when I went to that cosmicfingerprints.com and learned about a creator, maybe this creator is both yin and yang. Maybe he creates evil and good. I don't know. Maybe he's a computer programmer. It just makes everything at random and everything exists. I actually thought, you ever see, Lana, you ever see like the universe looks like a bunch of neurons?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. What if we're just in the brain of this God and that all of us are just his thoughts that manifested into
sure.
this reality?
I've heard that idea before. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? But the fact is, what I'm trying to say is that there's a natural order that this architect has created. And, you know, like produces like, and, you know, unlike produces unlike, whatever. And there's different things that you can't fly without making a plane. If I jump off a building, gravity's going to kill me. So we have to obey the laws of nature. And, you know, the National Socialists turned nature into a government.
Yeah.
And they did very well for those 12 years. Would have worked after that? We don't know. I mean, you know, would have been a dictator for that whole time. Maybe it would have turned into a republic. Who knows? I mean, I don't, that's what I'm saying. The National Youth Front doesn't say we're National Socialists or we're Republicans, or because we don't know what's going to solve the problems in the United States. I truly don't know. Like, people call me a Nazi. I say, I'm really not a Nazi. I'm not even anything like that, because I don't know what solution is for this government. I thought of, you know, what a solution might be? Having a multiracial parliament where each race has a president. And we all just come to this table every year and we just talk about our problems. I don't know. But every group has to have a homeland, that's for sure. So I would think ethnostates would be the best. But even within those ethnostates, there's going to be some people who want to live in a monarchy. You know, a lot of Christians might say, listen, I want to live under a monarchy. Well, I don't want to do that, so I'll make my own ethnostate. You know, I'll do this. This, maybe these people want to become democratic, so maybe they could do that. You know, like the Greek city-states were all different. You had Sparta, you had Athens.
Yeah, we need just an organic separatist movement. I mean, that would actually bring peace, and people would be free to choose where and how they wanted to live.
That's exactly what this National Youth Front's all about. And that's why the anti-supremacist term I use, because you can go do what you want, leave me alone, and that would form organic states that you're talking about. That's the biggest, that's the most basic philosophy that I preach to people. And I'm not going to say, you know, when I first woke up, I was afraid and I was thinking more extreme because I didn't know what to do. And I think that's also part of our enemy's plan. You know, they teach these super extremist white nationalists like Ben Klassen, who say, you got to exterminate the whole planet or whatever, you know. And that's just too extreme. That's not nature. I mean, I don't see any other organisms out there trying to exterminate another organism. You know, I don't see koala bears going out of their way to kill other bears. You know, the natural order.
Koalas aren't bears, by the way. They're just koalas.
Well, see, I learn something every day.
Australians always hate that.
Yeah. So, you know, the natural order of things includes disorder. So I'm not going to tell people what to do, but I'm going to keep those people away from me. But it includes diversity, like you said, and preserving that diversity. It also includes the miscegenation that we don't approve of, because that's going to happen anyway. But what does that do? It makes your children have a better chance. So when people violate the law on their own free will, there's nothing we can do about it. It's their problem. It's not good or bad. That's all perspective, because I don't think morals really exist. Like, there's no capital T in truth, but maybe there is. But morals, they're perspective. What's good for the snake is bad for the mongoose or whatever like that. So I look at it like this. My group, the people that think like me, let's go over here. Let's protect ourselves. Everybody else, do what you got to do. Leave us alone. If you want to work together, that's cool. Just respect what we are. You know, I consider us like an Amish community. You know what I mean? We live alone. That's what I want to do. But they don't want us to do that.
No, they have to chase you down and force you to live with them. Even though they hate us, they want to force us to be there. It's just so psychotic.
They hate the white devil, but they love his women. They love his technology, and they love his homelands. Flocking. No one's flocking to Africa. No one's flocking to India. They're all coming here, and they have the audacity to call us all these names. And I mean, it's getting really bad, Lana. I mean, you go on Twitter, these black people really have lost their mind. They're calling us, you know, pink-nosed pigs living in caves. You stole our technology.
That's hilarious.
If we stole your technology, why couldn't you just do it again? If my mother has a recipe and you stole it, she'll just keep cooking it anyway.
Yeah.
You'll just
Good point.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, I've refuted every person. And when you talk to these kind of black supremacists, because that's what they are, they don't make any sense at all. And you can't even talk. I mean, even if you make a point, they still don't believe you. So there's some people you just can't talk to.
Yeah, you just can't reason with. They're just too far gone. Just don't even do it.
Yeah. So what I do is this. I started making memes. Now, if you go to my website, nationalnewsfront.com, and you go to the memes section, it's under media. There's memes. I just have memes that I've made where when I get into an argument, I just leave that and I go away. So it's like someone goes, well, white people are so violent, blah, blah, blah. I'll post a meme that says that shows a black and white crime, and then I just walk away. I don't care what he says. If I lose or not in his eyes, the people who are looking at that argument will say, wow, that's right.
You have to get to the point, too, where you keep it so simple and make it so it's like it's fun for you. It becomes humorous where their attacks just don't even affect you anymore, because that they can't stand when they cannot affect you. And when you can laugh in their face, it's like the ultimate victory. So it's hard to get to that place, but it's possible. You have to work on it, and you have to take some hits before you can get there.
Yeah, I mean, the number one thing I do in an argument with someone online is I never use ad hominems. I don't make fun of them ever. So then they're attacking me, crack at this, blah, 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 racist thing. And then so anyone looking sees this person's totally unstable. They'll even go like, you should be shot. You should be dead. I would kill every person. They'll go that far, these
people.
And I'm sitting there like, wow, you sound racist. You know, I was like, you know, I did before, I was actually a life coach at some point in my life, a few years ago. I went to, it was in New York City. I forgot the name of the school, International Center of Positive Change and Hypnosis. And I got my master's in, not a master's degree, but it's certification in neurolinguistic programming. Have you ever heard of this before?
Of course, yes. All right,
so Tony Robbins, I mean, I love the guy, he's great. Because coming back from Iraq, you know, we all have PTSD. So I was trying to figure out what the hell was wrong with me. I had nightmares, all these problems, anxiety. And I'm a war veteran, and we all come back. We all have these issues that we have to deal with. So I'm the kind of person that looks for the truth. I figured, you know, let me look into my own way of healing. What can I do? And as I was learning how to heal myself, I learned that I could heal other people with neurolinguistic programming. And it's really simple. I mean, you know, language is what gives you the experience of reality. Other than your five senses, you know, if I say, hey, Lana, that movie was good, you're going to say, okay. But if I say, hey, that movie was great, it changes your perception of the movie. You know, for example, I'll give you another example. If I say, that car, there was a car accident and the car was destroyed. Okay, that's one car. And then there was a car accident and the car was totally annihilated. Which car accident in your mind was worse?
The one that was annihilated.
Exactly, because I changed the word. And a very simple thing, like for example, I know some lady would come up to me and say, oh my God, all men are pigs. All of them are. And I go, really? All of them? I ask a question. Her brain goes, yeah, all of them. I go, are you sure they all are? How about your grandfather? Is he a pig? No. So does that mean all men are pigs? No, some men are pigs, which means that some men are not. See, that's how we change reality. So these, our enemies have say all white people are racist. See, all white people are Nazis, all this and that. And one could argue National Socialism automatically turns into genocide. That's what they say. They say National Socialism equals gas chambers. But that's the same argument as guns kill people. I mean, we're in a democracy. We're killing everybody. You know, you can't blame a system. You have to blame the people who use it. You know, so the neurolinguistic programming part, that's why I come up with really good rebuttals, because most of my rebuttals are just questions. Because you can't teach someone the truth. You have to lead the horse to water. You know what I mean? So I guide the conversation by asking questions. How do you know that's real? How do you know it's not fake? How do you know you weren't lied to? They weren't you lied to about this? Well, about that. How do you know that's not a lie? And just keep asking questions until they go, oh, they have to agree at some point. And if they do realize it, you know, they can't undo it. So like, for example, Lana, if you see a magician do a trick, okay, and then someone tells you how it's done, you'll never fall for it ever again.
It's true.
And that's when you said in the email you sent me, once that switch is turned, there is no going back. And there's a lot of people who get into this movement who burn out. I can't do this anymore. Oh my God, so depressing. And that's what they want you to do. They want you to be depressed. They want you to say, I give up. You know, I'll worry about my own family. I'm going to raise my own kids and just go live in the mountains. Well, they'll find you one day. And that's what's going to happen. So we have to understand that this is beyond ourselves. And this is another thing I learned when I became racially aware, Lana. I realized that I have this huge family.
the white race and all of humanity. I really have compassion for different races, and some people think that's a weakness. I don't think it's a weakness at all. I'm a human being, and I'm an Aryan kind of mind person. What is an Aryan? Is a nobleman, you know? And people say the word Aryan means master race, all that crap. I think Aryans can be from any race.
Ancient Indo-Europeans, actually, but yeah.
Yeah, I think any race, I mean, every race has their noblemen. I mean, sure. Some races have more than others, of course.
That's right.
You know, but I want the best of every race to do what they can for their people. I mean, we know Gandhi and Adolf Hitler were pen pals. They had the same ideology to make India nationalist, to make Germany nationalist, okay? The guy Ali who came to the protest, I consider him an Aryan. He's a good man who wants to defend his people, but he also understands the sovereignty of our people. So to me, he's an ally,
see? Nationalists are nationalists because they love all people. They want to see them exist. They don't want to be blended out into a monoculture where it's like the death of all culture and peoples. It's so simple.
Exactly. I mean, the communists and the Cagliari people, all these guys, they want to blend everyone out of existence so they can make us all one blob that has no identity. Because if you don't have an identity, you won't fight for anything. And that's how I was. I didn't have a racial identity. But once I woke up and I realized, wow, I have a duty to protect my people. That's what I call them my people. And it sounds crazy I say that, but I'm saying it because it's my family. And I that's why I stopped living that, you know, going out New York City lifestyle in the club. And I realized what am I doing when I do this? Nothing. Yeah. I'm engaging in all these activities and doing whatever I was doing there and coming back home and doing it every week. And then what was the point of it? What good am I doing? And then you see the Jewish community, they're doing the opposite. They're doing everything. They give money to each other. They fund Israel. They sacrifice. They do what they have to do. We don't do that. I basically use the analogy that the white race is like a basketball team. Everyone's trying to make three-pointers and no one's passing the ball. Every other race works collectively against us. They're going to win every time. We have to start becoming collectivists. And, you know, I don't think we've ever been in this situation before. I mean, we have been conquered in different times, like with the Moors and stuff like that. But on a global scale where it's like this bad.
This kind of a threat. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're the bad guys like that. I mean, and our media is controlled by someone else. I mean, this is unprecedented. And we need to realize that it's time to become a little selfish. I don't mean don't be compassionate, because again, another thing I've noticed in this movement is a lot of white nationalists become so bitter, they become the enemy. Yeah. You know, they become just as evil. And then I don't care about anyone else. I don't care if black babies die. I don't care. That's just crazy. I mean, that's another thing. When I first woke up, and again, I was afraid. I was reading all these books. I got real fanatic about it. And I wasn't resonating with my soul. It was not resonating, and I gradually got away from that stuff. That's why I never became a neo-Nazi swastika person. You know what I mean? Running around and joining the Klan or whatever. I've always been me. I've always been neutral. And you know, during those times, I was on Stormfront posting stuff. And, of course, my enemies would take pictures of it and say, oh, look what he did back there. That's all they got. All they got is I got stalkers, and they take pictures of stuff, and they try to twist stuff. And that comes with the territory. And people don't want that. You know, that's why they don't put this is my real name, Angelo John Gage. And the reason why I did that was I wanted to become someone like David Duke, you know, someone who makes their name known, like Jared Taylor.
Yeah, not hiding behind some avatar.
Exactly, because the time of hiding is over, and we need to start showing people, hey, look, it's okay. I mean, look, how do you think the blacks started this, you know? The black, back in the day, they had to start the same way. It's a grassroots movement.
Well, they had a lot of white college kids actually backing that up, but yep. Well, a lot of liberals in the time.
Well, they did, so, of course, but I'm saying, you know, everything starts like the first people to start something always are going to take the brunt of the most difficult part of the movement, you know? So like these feminists, I mean, who was listening to them back then until they gained power and of course the media was on their side, but it always takes time, baby steps to make a movement go forward. And some of us have to take the brunt of that attack. I mean, Earth Sundell, look at all he went through.
But
he inspired someone else, and he inspired someone on that person. So it's like the baton gets passed on every generation. I don't look at it as anyone failed. You know, I don't look at it as if for the last 50 years, white nationalism has gotten nowhere. It has gotten somewhere, but very slowly. And I want the National Youth Front to be that somewhere where it takes it to the next level. Okay, that's what I want to do with us. So I want to motivate people listening. If you think you have that kind of spirit and you have that ability to do what's right, then you should join our group. That's what I want to do. I want the elite of our people who aren't afraid to be called names, who don't have to be anonymous, although we do allow people to be anonymous if they have to be. But I want the best of our young folks, and even older folks, to advise us on what we could do to save our people. Because, again, Lana, all it really is an info war. If Alex Jones has anything right, it's that term, info.
Yeah, it is right, yeah.
You know? So that's what I really want to do. I want to inspire people. And again, I'm trying to make it cool because a lot of the memes that I make actually have like stuff people know, like, you know, like Bad Luck Brian, mm-hmm. Have you ever seen those memes? Like I use things like that, like Velociraptor, you know, things that young kids go, oh, I know that, you know? So like, I want the youth to get into this because politics is really boring. If you ever turn on, you know, some C-SPAN or something, they're talking in the room. No one cares about that. Because it's all horse crap. No one knows what's going on. And everybody knows politics is a puppet game. I mean, people know that no matter who they choose, it's the lesser of two evils. How about we just start a whole new system?
That's right. You know? Exactly.
I don't understand. I mean, or even this. Why don't people ever say, hey, all right, you know what? You're Republican. You live on this side of the country. And all Democrats live on that side of the country. Why don't we do that? I do something. I mean, but no, people are too stupid and distracted. So, I mean...
Well, Angelo, give us your website so everyone knows how to reach you and get involved.
Yeah, I mean, nationalyouthfront.com. You can go there. You know, again, you can join, you can donate, whatever you want to do. We appreciate it. I have a YouTube channel. It's Angelo John Gage. My Twitter is Angelo John Gage. My Facebook is Angelo John Gage. It's all there if you want to contact me. I'm very open to talk to people. You know, I want to connect with everybody. I think that we need to start connecting with each other more. You know, I don't like the fact that some people are untouchable, unreachable, mm-hmm. You know, like you can't, you know, I want to get to Dr. Duke. I can't even get to him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, he's been in here a long time, but
I talked to him. He's a great guy.
Yeah. He's a wonder. I've read both his books. I've read Jewish Supremacism and also read, My Awakening, which is a really good book. And I mean, I have my own podcast now. Do you know who John King is?
No, I don't actually. Who is that?
Well, John King was a co-host on The White Voice, which was one of the first podcasts I was on.
Oh, sure. I've heard that show. Yeah.
Yeah. So John King and I, we both left The White Voice, but I got back with John King just a week ago and said, listen, John, I'm going to make the Chairman's Corner because I want to make a podcast for the National Youth Front so we can drive more traffic there. So I made the Chairman's Corner and what that's going to be, and we already made an episode. If you go to the website there or my YouTube, it's there, either one. Me and John King just talking about world events. And what we're going to do is this. We're going to take news and we're going to make it white. You see what I mean? So what does this mean for white people? Which is kind of like what other shows do, but in a less way, in a more PG-rated way. Mm-hmm. Some of these websites are so vulgar. And so, you know, they make. So I want to appeal to those who say, look, there's something wrong. And, you know, I want them to understand that it's not evil to think for having white interests. That's what I'm trying to do.
Well, Angelo, a big thanks for your time today. I've really appreciated it.
Well, absolutely. It was an honor for me to come to your show. I mean, I really like what you guys do here. And anytime you want me to come back, I'm always available.
If you really pay attention to the onslaught of news, education, and programming that is anti-white, it is 24/7, unrelenting. It never lets up. It seeks far and wide to hook people of all races to join the war against white people who aren't self-hating, who aren't apologetic, and who aren't swallowed up by liberal delusion. There are many days when I come across articles and think to myself, these people are insane, loony bin insane. There's no end to their madness. Eventually, liberals will say being human is a social construct, so we must be liberated from being human. They're psychotic about breaking down and eroding anything that is a collective whole that is healthy and natural to force them into the degenerate liberal collective. Today it is white people. Tomorrow it'll be something else. Everything the psychotic left says they stand for, they do the complete opposite. What's white is black, and what's black is white. So all people who are concerned with the rising tide of totalitarian liberalism need to take action. You still may be comfortable and safe today, but a day will come where the war will be at your door. So I urge you, make sacrifices, make serious life changes, anything you can to be the opposition in new and clever ways. And remember, radio314.com is the website where you can connect with me and our friends via our social networks. And since we are commercial-free and ad-free, if you like what we do, you can always help by signing up for a Red Ice membership to access all our radio archives. We appreciate all the support, both monetarily and psychically. I have many more good shows coming up, but if there's a topic you want to hear, shoot me an email and let me know. Have a good night. Talk soon.